All eyes turn to Europe as a giant global bank struggles. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Deutsche Bank is the hot topic in international banking right now. The German bank has had a rough time for a while, but in the last couple days, concerns over a potential $14 billion fine from American regulators over mortgages have walloped its stock price and sparked worries around the world. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore has more.
Deutsche Bank shares fell after reports of some hedge funds withdrawing their money. The German government has signaled it will not bail out debt-ridden banks, and Deutsche has denied seeking state aid. The bank's stock has lost half its value this year, and the cost of insuring its debt against default has soared. Today, its chief executive, John Cryan, tried to reassure staff about the crisis by blaming the departure of some hedge fund clients and unsettling media coverage for speculation about its future. He insisted the departure of any hedge fund clients was small compared to its vast customer base. German politicians have played down claims that Deutsche's problems could be a repeat of the collapse of the U.S. investment bank Lehman during the financial crisis of 2008.
Recent surveys of Americans show people feeling pretty good about the economy. We'll get fresh new data later this morning. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer looks into what's behind all this optimism and what it says about where our economy's at overall.
Despite what you may have heard from politicians, American consumers are bullish. Consumer confidence numbers out earlier this week were the highest they've been since 2007.
We've last seen levels this high before the Great Recession.
Lynn Franco is with the Conference Board, which measures consumer confidence every month.
The consumers are confident. There's a willingness to spend.
Franco says more consumers feel secure in their jobs. They see that the economy is growing. Okay, so they want to splurge. But there's a difference between confidence and actual spending. Are consumers spending at pre-recession levels? Not according to economist Paul Ashworth at Capital Economics.
As far as confidence goes, we're back to that level. It's just that actual consumption has been a bit weaker. And some of that is because households just aren't taking debt on at the same pace.
Ashworth says that's a good thing, but try telling that to a retailer looking ahead to the holiday season. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
It's been over a year since Puerto Rico first defaulted on its debt obligations. A messy and complicated restructuring is now underway. Meanwhile, the economy is still severely challenged, and some Puerto Ricans are choosing to look for better opportunities elsewhere. Many of them are moving to Central Florida. Marketplace's Andy Euler takes us there to find out why they're leaving, what they're finding, and how they're changing that community.
People have taken a call in Kissimmee, a town about 20 miles south of Orlando, Little Puerto Rico. It's like today's version of those pockets in New York City in the 70s and 80s. I ran into Kevin Curtici at a restaurant outside of downtown Kissimmee called Puerto Rico's Cafe. His mother is Puerto Rican, grew up in a Puerto Rican neighborhood in Hoboken, New Jersey. He grew up in Central Florida.
Puerto Ricans, I think, are simple people, and I think they just move to places that are cheaper, easier to find work. And I think people move to Florida because, A, Florida has no state tax. It's warmer, and they're closer to home.
The Puerto Rican government has officially recognized Kissimmee as a hub of the migration. The Puerto Rican Federal Affairs Administration, a sort of unofficial embassy, only has two regional offices outside of Washington, one in New York, one in Kissimmee. Pablo Caceres is the director.
Kissimmee is the 79th municipality in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has 78, and Kissimmee is 79 because the majority of the people here, I'd say 95%, speak Spanish.
That can be a disadvantage for some looking for skilled jobs. He says some doctors and architects end up working in the service industry because they don't speak fluent English. But the migration also brings opportunities, specifically for teachers.
Obviously, the rising Puerto Rican population here means we need teachers who speak Spanish and English in order to transition.
Jose Rivera is an engineer. He moved to Central Florida in 1994 and works as an office manager at his wife's cardiology practice.
The migration has always been there. What I've noticed is by the numbers now, it's more noticeable because now you have more professionals.
He says that's led to a shortage of skilled workers on the island. People call it the brain drain. But most Puerto Ricans who move to Florida see it as a temporary thing. They say they'll go back when things get better. Jose Rivera says that's because Puerto Rico is home, and this migration is different from moving from another state on the mainland.
Just the fact that you have to abandon where you live and go to an unknown place, that's hard enough.
Then you have to get a job, find a place to stay, and figure out a way to assimilate to the culture on the mainland. The Puerto Rican community in Central Florida makes that assimilation for some a little bit easier. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And finally, a rare happy ending in the art world. Two stolen Van Gogh paintings missing for nearly 15 years are now back in the hands of the Van Gogh Museum. The paintings were taken from Amsterdam in 2002. Italian anti-mafia police in Naples recovered them from a crime family suspected of cocaine trafficking. The paintings were found along with tens of millions in other suspicious property. The museum says the paintings have some damage and are missing the frames, but in decent shape overall. The Van Gogh Museum director said that when paintings are gone this long, there's often little hope of return. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.